Praise the Lord. If you don't come to church on Wednesday nights, I encourage you to try to come. It's like a shot in the arm. Middle of the week, and you know Sundays are coming. Hallelujah. But it's like a spiritual shot in the arm. And it's been awesome. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for your presence that's here, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We are ready to receive your word today, Lord. We're ready to receive that life-changing word today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. So we're going to be talking about man today and who we are. So when I say man, I'm talking about male and female. And who we are. Amen. So when we look at creation, when we look at the creation man, we can see that he is set apart from what God did before he created him. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 1, when God looked upon the earth, it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved or was hovering upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So God began speaking and brought forth life to that which had no life. He specializes in that. Always has. Amen. That's how he started it. And he said it was good. Amen. Everything that God speaks is good. After he brought life to the darkness and he brought order to the chaos, he turned and said, "Let us make man in our image." When he was speaking creation into being, he spoke as one, "Let there be." But in making man, he brought the Godhead in. He brought some help in. Not that he needed any help, but he wanted everybody to be in agreement. And he said, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost said, "Let us make man." And Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man after our likeness. In our image. And let them have dominion." Right there's a message in all itself. Right. Dominion, authority. Amen. Verse 27 says, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created them, and God blessed them." And verse 28 says, Genesis says, "And God blessed them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it." Let us pull out some words from these verses. First of all, man, meaning mankind, in our image, humanity at large. An image refers to reason, personality, intellect, the capacity of release and to speak all these things. They're characteristics of God. When he made man in the image, he put the nature of God inside of you. Created meaning to form or fashion. It means to produce. This word comes from the Hebrew word B-A-R-A. And it describes both creating by bringing into existence and creating by fashioning existing matter into something new, as God did creating man out of the dust of the ground. He said, "We're going to make something in our image, in our likeness, to fill that which I've already spoken into being. I need somebody to have rule over what I have just created. I need somebody to have dominion. I need somebody to replenish it and subdue it." God said, "Let us make man in our image, our likeness, reflecting our nature." And he said, "God created all the fish and all that stuff and the earth itself. And God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created male and female. God blessed them." This is from the Message translation. "And he told them, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. And be responsible for all that's within the earth." Now remember, man hadn't breathed yet. He was just speaking to the image of man at this point. He didn't put breath into man until chapter 2. So he was put into the image of man, his nature, and told them to go and subdue. "I've given you creative power that when you speak, it'll happen." He was just speaking to the image man. There was no breath there yet. God looked over that which he created and said, "That is good. Whatever thing that I've done, everything I've created, it's good. But I'm about to create my masterpiece. If you think what you're seeing is beautiful, this earth and everything that I've created, wait till you see what I'm about to do next. And God's greatest masterpiece is us. It's humanity. It's me and you. We are God's greatest masterpiece. That word workmanship is translated, we are His work of art. We are His poem. Or as another translation puts it, His masterpiece. Masterpiece. Man was brought into the center of the created order. So therefore now, the spotlight's on God's creation, the man that He created, who is seen as God's masterpiece in the created order. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, His own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set so that we could walk in them, would walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us. So we don't have to make anything happen. It's already there. We just come into agreement with what He's already said and done. You were created in the image of God. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. And before that, He had already spoken everything into man. The creative power He spoke into man His already. And now He's getting ready to do the ultimate. Amen? Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He had already created the image of man. He already spoke to the image what it was supposed to be. And that image was just there waiting for His creator to give life to him. When God created vegetation and the animals and made them all after their kind, and this phrase occurs 10 times in Genesis chapter 1. But when He created man, He made him after God kind, in the image and in the likeness of God. And I believe that the Spirit of God was just sitting there hovering over this image. I believe the Spirit of God was just waiting to give the for God to say, give the command. Just waiting to breathe into that image for man to become a living soul. The Hebrew translate wind as Spirit of God that we can see that throughout the Word. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And so when I began to study this word out, I found it one other place in the Bible that's used in this context, and it was in Deuteronomy 32:11, where it describes a mother bird beating her wings over her little ones, encouraging them to fly. One of the earliest Jewish commentaries on this text that dated back to this time interpreted it this way, a spirit of love. Before the Lord was blowing or hovering over the face of the waters. It's all about love. This holy wind is not part of the chaos, but it was part of God's motherly love, conveying the promise of life, order, and beauty to what looked like chaos and darkness and void and emptiness. His love is what brought it all together. Because God's Spirit was hovering over it, chaos became a promise. And it's like our lives. The hovering of God is hovering over us, in us, and He's just waiting to bring order to anything in our lives that's out of order. And that's why we come into agreement with what He says it already is. Order. In Genesis chapter 1, we have the Godhead creating man in His image. And in chapter 2, in verse 2, and the Lord God formed of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Amplified Bible says, then the Lord God formed, that is, created the body of man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being, an individual being, complete body and spirit. Breathe, meaning breathe a breath of life. In other words, God taught man how to breathe. Wow. Adam's body had just been formed by God from the dust of the ground. He scooped up the dust and he made a body for the image. Wow. and breathed over him in his nostrils the breath of life. I don't believe he helped man down and did some kind of CPR and say, breathe. But all he had to do was say, breathe. Glory. In other words, the breath is the spirit. He spirited the breath of God into Adam, into the man. Wow. And man took his first breath, and that image became a living soul. And we are a body. We're spirit. We're spirit beings that has a soul that lives in a body that you see on the outside. But we're more than what you could see on the outside. You are created in the image of God. You have the nature of God. Whew. Wow. Selah, meditate, think on that. The image took on a body. It was no longer dead. Life was form. But now it was spirit, soul, and body. Made in the image of the Creator who gave him life. And as I said here once before, what happens to you when you realize that you need to be born again? You need a Savior. And you get saved, and there's that excitement, and you can't wait to tell people, and there's this joy for days. Why? Because your spirit man, the God that created you, you got connected back to that Creator. The one that gave you life to start with. The created man, God's masterpiece, was now spirit, soul, and body, alive, living, functioning human being. Paul mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, man is three parts. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul, spirit, joints, and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Someone who could fellowship and have relationship with the one who created him. God took this man, Adam, and placed him in the garden to take care of it in Genesis 2:15. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had perfect communion with God and fellowship with him. But we know their time didn't last long because temptation came by. Temptation came along. See, God created us beings of choice. He don't want to force you to love him. He wants you to accept that gift of love and love him because you choose to. And when they rebelled against God, that fellowship was broken. That communion was broken. They were no longer one with God, their Creator, at that point. And they became, Genesis 3:8, we read that they became aware of their sins, and at that point were ashamed before him. And they hid themselves. And man has been trying to hide from God ever since, not realizing that's what makes life worth living. Not realizing that they are a creation of something that's bigger than them. The image that God created had become and became tarnished at that point and defiled, but God. And you know, it seems like at times I feel like God has walked from the, because he's all-knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent, that he walks the end of time and goes to the end of time and comes back in the middle and starts over. And then he calls us to walk out the middle, and you think he'd at least tell us some things every once in a while. But that wouldn't be walking by faith, but God. But in the middle of, he said, you know, man can't do this middle part by themselves. They couldn't keep the law. They couldn't keep everything that was required of the law. This middle part of walking out life, they can't do it, but God. So if we could have done it on our own, there would have been no reason for Jesus. There would have been no reason for salvation. There would have been no reason for the cross. But we couldn't keep it. That's why he sent Jesus. And it's only through Christ that fellowship be restored. Because in him we are made as righteous, sinless, as God in God's eyes, as Adam and Eve were before they sinned. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So when we're born into this world, we are born with a spirit, a soul, and a body. There's a whole world out there with man and all their wisdom and intelligence is ignorant of the world of the spirit. The spiritual being that's on each side of the person. Psychiatry and psychology, and I work in this environment every day, and I see it. And philosophy teach that man is just two parts. So they try to help man dealing with just their two parts, not realizing the real them. It's not ever been taken care of, because if the real you is taken care of, the body and soul has to come into line. So I talked to some of them, and I said, what do they teach you in school? You're not to mention God. A God is whatever you choose it to be. But you keep that stuff to yourself and give them more and more and more and more medication without dealing with this, that part. The world only deals with the body and the mind. But we are a three-part human being. We're trying to control bad habits. And bad behavior with more and more laws, more detectors, more and more security. And it's never, ever going to take care of the problem.
That's right.
Never going to take care of the problem. If you want to fund something, fund people that are preaching the truth.
That's right.
That say can set people free.
Yes.
Amen. So we're trying to control bad behavior with all this man-made stuff. And it's not going to get any better that way.
No.
Prisons are overcrowded today because somebody has not either received the word or somebody's not taught people who they really are. And they're trying to find out who they are by being involved with all the things in the world. And it's a vicious cycle. So we are a spirit, soul, and live in a body. The spirit is God consciousness. The soul is your self-consciousness. The body is the world consciousness. When we're born again, your spirit is instantly transformed. Your spirit is instantly transformed, and you are made back into contact with the one that created you. The spirit, that part of you which takes on the nature of God. And then at that point, we should be taught the process of changing our soul by the renewing of our mind. And the Bible calls it that, renewing the mind. Romans 12:2 says, by the renewing of your mind. But if you're not taught that, you don't know that you're supposed to do that. And there's churches all over America today are meeting because it's just a formal thing to do. A religious thing to do. But it's like an article that I had in the Sunday handout. Traditions without purpose will avail nothing. So, because I was raised in one of those churches. I was taught about heaven and hell. You got saved to keep yourself out of hell. And then all that in-between stuff, you made it the best way you could. And you just hang on. And hopefully, by some luck, stroke of luck, you'll make it to heaven. You're not taught about relationship. You're not taught about renewing your mind. You're not taught about fellowship. And that's why God created us, is to have relationship with us. And when that relationship is one with our Creator, the relationships around us will be what they were intended to be. But if that relationship is out of order, we won't have a relationship with ourselves or anybody else. Our spiritual growth is determined by how much your soul has been changed by the Word of God. Be you doers of the Word and not hearers only. Begin to put action to that which you have heard. Faith actions, steps of faith actions. So we're hindered from a life of abundance that God said is ours by our soul and our mind. You're either influenced by this outside forces or by the spirit man inside of you. There's only two kinds of influences. Your spirit man is either influencing you, and or the world, the outside forces, are influencing you. But if people are never taught that, how do they know? And to me, sometimes it grieves me, because there's so many people going around and running around not knowing who they are? How do you make it not knowing who you are? So after we're born again, the Bible tells us to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:24 says, put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, Godlike, in righteous, in the righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. Our soul and our body are to take on the image of our spirit, not the other way around. We live from the inside out, not the outside in. And when the spirit man becomes dominant in our life, our body and our soul will take on that reflection. This happens little by little. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens little by little as you renew your mind continually on the Word of God. Little by little is in the process of changing our mind, our will, and emotions to understand and walk in the ways of the Word and not in the ways of the world. We are to learn to live from the inside out. So when the Spirit entered the body of dust, the soul was produced. The Spirit mingled with the body and brought forth the soul, and man became a living soul. And the soul motivates the body to obey the commands of the Spirit. And the verse that I gave on Wednesday night was in Luke 1:46-47. And Mary said, my soul magnifies. In other words, present tense. My soul magnifies and exalts the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Why could her soul magnify the Lord? Because her spirit had already magnified the Lord. Amen? My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced. The spirit must first magnify the Lord before the soul can magnify. Then the soul relates it to the body, and the body expresses that joy. And as I told them Wednesday night, that's when you get your happy dance on. Because what's in your spirit cuts to your mind, and your mind's like, oh, I've got to do the happy dance. That's good. Why? Because that's your spirit connecting to what God has said. You get that word that you're healed, and your soul began, your mind begins, oh, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. In other words, your body has to express what the spirit is relaying to the mind.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. So you can go ahead and get your Snoopy dance on. I like Snoopy. But very few Christians know who they are in the spirit because they're not taught. They are not taught. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Religion teaches us that we are sinners by nature. And just the opposite is true, because the Bible says, Psalms 51:5 says, I was brought forth in a state of wickedness and sin. My mother conceived me from the beginning. I was sinful. But when we came to Christ and received salvation, we became a new person. You are no longer just a sinner saved by grace. But you are new. You are brand new in Christ Jesus. The Word said in Ephesians 2:2-3, Amplified Bible, in which you once walked. In which you once walked. You were following the ways of the world. That's when you was out there doing all that stupid stuff and you didn't know why you was doing it, but you just kept on doing it.
Yeah.
Influenced by this present age, being influenced by the world, in accordance with the prince, the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. It says you once walked like that. But now that you're saved, you don't walk like that no more. Among these unbelievers, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by the sinful self, indulging the desires of human nature without the Holy Spirit, and the impulses of the sinful mind. That's why people are addicted to drugs and pornography and all this stuff, and they tell you they can't have it. They can't. Because they haven't been taught that they can. So in their mind, they're telling the truth. They can't. But we know they can. Until they are taught to change their behavior, they will never behave any different. We were nature children. We were by nature children under the sentence of God's wrath, just like the rest of mankind. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore,
amen.
Therefore,
yes.
If anyone is in Christ,
yes.
That is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature. Reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous mortal and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Because spiritual awakenings brings a new life. And that's why you're born again and you get into this word and it's spirit, it's the breath of God. And you begin, something begins to happen inside of you. Your spirit becomes alive and more alive. And your mind starts getting renewed. These scriptures are not talking about your body. Because if you were a man before you accepted Christ, you were still a man. Your body did not change. Your soul, which we know is a mental postal part of us, did not automatically change either. That's why since somebody gets saved and they're still doing some stuff that they did before they got saved, we can't judge them because it is a process of renewing your mind to be formed. Amen? So it takes a while sometimes to get rid of some stuff. But the more you get into the Word, the more your mind gets renewed. Those things can begin to fall off of you. One day you just wake up and you're just not doing it no more. That's the wonders of the Word. By the renewing of your mind. But it's your spirit that became brand new, the real you. And that's when you first start really living.
Amen.
Why? Because you are here because God created you.
Amen.
If he didn't, you wouldn't be here.
Amen.
You're here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to bring glory to God in the life that you live. Your spirit is totally new. There is not an old sin nature left in you. So people think they just go around sinning and have to sin all the time. The devil will get you concentrated on that. And the more you think about it, the more you'll do it. But the Bible says there's no sin nature left in me. So we get what we got inside out. We do that by transforming our mind with the Word. Who are now in the area of the born-again children of God. So what part of us has changed when our spirit is born again? Instantly, our spirit is transformed to the image of God, as we said earlier. The spirit is what takes on the new nature. The new man, God's word, first words about the total man are found in the first chapter of Genesis. Let us make man in our image. The man is created to rule. You are created to rule, have dominion, subdue. As born-again children of God, we have that on this earth. God is a personal God, a personal spirit that has called us a spirit, and he is a spirit. His spirit was active in creation. We find his spirit active in redemption. In redemption. I'm skipping some of this stuff because I feel like it's time to close. And I got one more thing I want to share with you that I read one time. After the bombing of 9/11, a little boy asked his grandfather, "Why are people so evil? Why do people do bad things?" And the grandfather said, "I too at times have felt great hate for those who have taken so much with no sorrow for what they've seen they do. But hate wears you down and does not hurt your enemy. It's like taking poison and wishing your enemy would die." And he said, "Son, there seems to be two evils. One is good and does no harm, and he lives in with harmony with all those around him and does not take offense when no offense is intended. And he will only fight when it's right to do so and in the right way. And sometimes it's hard to live with these two evils, for both of them tried to dominate my spirit." The boy looked intently at his grandfather and said, "Which one wins, grandfather?" The grandfather smiled and quietly said, "The one I feed." We're either influenced by the world and we feed the influence of the world by what we see, what we hear, or we're either dominated by the influence by the Spirit, by what we hear, what we see, what we read, and how we talk. We are influenced by outside forces. Which one are you allow yourself to feed will be the greatest.
You are a spirit. And that's the real part of you.
Allow the spirit man to take dominance in your life. And then and only then can you have an abundance life in Jesus Christ. Yeah. We need to get the word out that you're not just a mind floating around in a body. That you're just not a body, but you are a spirit, living, breathing, creation of an almighty God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Pastor, do you have anything to say? Okay. Let's stand right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is hovering over us all the time, in us, hovering over us, just waiting for us to come into agreement. Whatever is not in order in your life this morning, whether it's in your body, in your finances, in your children's lives or grandchildren's life, on your job, God says, I want you to speak peace to it. I want you to speak peace to every situation right now in the name of Jesus. Speaking peace to the chaos. Speaking peace to those things that are out of order. For them to come in order in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that order taking place right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. We just agree with your word, Lord. We found favor, Lord, with you. Thank you for that favor in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And I just hear the Lord saying that it's indeed with the cords of my love that I have even drawn you unto myself, says God. And with that love, I will keep you. With that love, I will never, ever let you go. So come to me with even the smallest thing that you may not think I'm concerned about, because I do see and I do hear all things. So lay it at my feet, says God, and I will bring deliverance to that situation. For my love for you is ever encompassing. And even with that love, I will bring order to the chaos. So begin to speak and begin to come into agreement with my word and what I have to say about the situation. And not what others may be saying or even what others may be doing. For I'm a God of more than enough. And I can make all things right. I can renew. I can restore. Just believe that I have, says God. And out of the abundance, I will bring deliverance. In Jesus' name. And I just speak favor over you right now in the name of Jesus for this upcoming week. That the favor of the Lord surrounds you in all that you do, all that you meet, that you are blessed to be a blessing, that the Word of God is alive in you, that it is doing what it needs to do. Amen. Do you need prayer?
Jewish. She died, but they brought her back. Who? Niece on my husband's side.
Okay.
And she died, and they brought her back. Now she's losing blood. She ain't 55 years old.
Okay. What's her first name?
Terry.
Father God, we just speak your word over Terry right now in the name of Jesus. We speak order to her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord, that whatever is causing these problems, they would be revealed and taken care of in the name of Jesus. Terry, rise up and be a testimony of God's healing power in the name of Jesus. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in Terry's body. And we speak to that spirit right now in Jesus' name to come forth. We speak on your behalf, Terry, that you are healed and delivered. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be blessed and be a blessing to somebody this week. Amen. Amen.